Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
When I say a big thank you to Bobby Evans, congratulations on a job well done. We're rooting for you in the future.
Well said, Joe. Yep.
As we turn our attention to the phones, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion, a three-time Pro Bowler, and former San Francisco 49ers offensive lineman Randy Cross, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Randy, good morning, and thank you for your time. Let's begin with this. The news for the 49ers was not kind on Monday. Jimmy Garoppolo did, in fact, tear the ACL in his left knee. He is out for the season. In the locker room, how difficult is this week going to be for this roster as they get set for the Chargers game?
Well, it's going to be a huge adjustment. I mean, but no worse than it was for us in 86 when Joe blew out a couple of discs in his back, had to have surgery. And, you know, that was in the opening game down in Tampa. And suddenly now, you know, Jeff Kemp is the starting quarterback. You don't have any choice in this business. You adjust and you move on and you hope the guy you just lost, in our case, could come back later in the year, or in this case, you know, next season. It's just there are no alternatives. There's usually not even a plan B necessarily involved, because with a guy like Jimmy, you weren't planning on anybody but an inexperienced kind of guy behind him, because they weren't going to play much.
Is part of the adjustment simplifying the playbook? And as an offensive lineman, what do you do differently when there's the backup quarterback in there who maybe doesn't have the same sort of grasp of the offense?
Well, I think the most obvious plan in that case is to block your ass off, especially for the run. You've got to put your offense in the most advantageous positions. And, you know, you hear the term staying on schedule and whatnot all the time, but man, is that important now when you're looking, you know, at a backup quarterback? And is it a different game plan? I sure hope so. You know, you had the guy that was sitting behind Brady and the guy that was playing so well last year and that, you know, was showing signs of really having a grasp of his system, and suddenly he's not there. Yeah, it's a different game plan. And, you know, he's got Beathard, and he's got a whole different kind of group of skill sets. So you have to – the adjustment isn't all in the locker room. A lot of that adjustment goes on upstairs and, you know, with the head coach and the offensive coordinator and whatnot. And game planning is to exactly how, you know, how you go about doing it and what kind of a football team you're going to be.
Randy, you know, winning breeds success. If they go out there and win some games, the team will keep, you know, faith and keep believing that they have a chance. Well, how imperative is it for this organization, though, to make sure they go and upgrade at the quarterback position, be a free agent, be a trade? What do they need to do to make sure that if something happens to Beathard, that they have a serviceable guy capable of being a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, that's a decision, you know, for John and for Kyle and, you know, even, you know, the ownership and the management and all them, because you have to have that list. If, you know, and I'm sure John Lynch has got that sitting in his desk of quarterbacks and guys and what they're going to cost and what you have available, because you have suddenly now just jumped right into the market. And if you want to make the commitment to the young guys that you currently have, great, you still need a veteran backup, but it goes a little bit lower on that list that you pull out of that desk as far as a veteran backup.
Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Prior to the Garoppolo injury, through what was almost three games of the NFL season, what did you like about the way this team was playing? I know there were some issues along the defense. They were working through some tough opposition, but what jumped out at you as a big positive for the future?
You know, I thought personally how they were dealing with problems. You know, if you look at their roster, you've got so many guys that are either, you know, questionable or out or whatnot. They had some problems in the offensive line. You kind of had faith that that was going to be coming around, that that was going to be a little bit better. Losing a guy like McKinnon was a big blow, but, you know, Breida had played so well. You know, I think the kind of flexibility of the team early on was a great sign. Now you're going to find exactly how flexible and pliable they are because, you know, this is too early in the season for anybody in that building even to contemplate or think, oh, well, that's it for 2018, because there's too many jobs on the line, including probably yours if you're thinking like that.
Is part of the flexibility utilizing some of the safer plays, such as Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback, and using the tight ends, Kittle and Celek, a little bit more?
You know, you would think so. You know, especially depending on the health of, you know, some of your guys. You know, is Sherman going to be out, what, a couple of weeks? What exactly the full availability of Goodwin? How are these guys going to be able to play?
Sure.
This Kyle Shanahan offense is something that's predicated on the backs being heavily involved. It's predicated on the tight ends being heavily involved. It's not just one of those wide receiver first kind of offenses and everybody else takes the scraps afterwards. So I don't anticipate that changing dramatically. It's just what percentage of the playbook can they now use because they have a guy like C.J. Beathard at quarterback.
Randy, when you think about their opponent that they're playing this week in L.A. Chargers, you saw 2 weeks in a row special teams. You know, a guy muff punt turns into seven the week before. This past week, a block punt. If you look at this team, it has some superstars, but the guys seem like have totally been underachieving. L.A. Chargers, that is. How does this matchup now look because of the fact that Jimmy G's hurt? But is the Chargers that good of a team? Have they shown you consistency?
Well, they really haven't. And I think what they've shown you is, you know, they don't have a consistent level of play. And that's terribly frustrating from the inside. But from the outside, when you're looking at them, you know, there's somebody you shouldn't be just unbelievably, you know, overwhelmed. Oh, God, we got to play the Chargers. I mean, you always hate playing against Phillip Rivers because he can spin it and throw it all over the place. But if he's not getting the support that he needs, you know, I got to look at that personally. If I'm getting ready for a game like that, is an eminently winnable game, and the outcome is still very much in my control, even if you don't have your lead sled dog at quarterback.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time Pro Bowler, and former San Francisco 49ers offensive lineman Randy Cross with us here on 95.7 The Game. Randy, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right. Best of luck this week.
I hate to say this about Richard Sherman, but you remember how he negotiated his own deal? Well, now that he's banged up because of the deal he negotiated, he's going to miss out on about $125,000 per game. And he's most likely not headed for 90% play time on the defensive snaps because of the injury, which is going to cost him another $1 million.
Ooh.
Which is one of those messages as to why, you know, guys hire agents. Now, it's not saying he didn't do a good deal because he was playing at a very high level. And had he been able to stay healthy throughout the course of the season and continue to produce on that level, he's probably headed for the Pro Bowl, possibly all pro, and it's going to trigger an avalanche of big time money incentives. But one little injury creeps up like it did in the Kansas City game, and it could end up costing you a fortune.
Yes, and I also want to take a look at the overall numbers of his contract and compute what the agent's taste would have been, 5 or 10%.
3.
Oh, it's only 3%.
NFL agents get 3.
Okay, so you take the 3% and you put that against what he's going to lose, and he's probably coming out just a little bit on the losing end, but if you're Richard Sherman, you weren't hoping to give up that 3% in this fashion with a bum calf.
Yeah, if you want to be an agent, you don't go into the NFL. You go into Major League Baseball. They get to negotiate with the player on what the percentage is.
Gotcha.
So you're going to have a guy, for example, like Bryce Harper. There's no way Bryce Harper's giving up 10% of that deal to Scott Boras.
Million.
Right. You're going to give him $30 million for making a couple phone calls and signing a couple documents?
Right,
no,
right.
Probably not. But he'd give up less, whereas some of the younger guys who are probably working their way through might have to give up a bigger chunk to make it worth his while.
Basketball, too. Those guys, the basketball and baseball, the agents get way more percentages than football.
Yeah. It's been knocked down quite a bit. 3% is where that's at. And they're not even guaranteed versus the other two deals. The Niners made an announcement yesterday as to what quarterbacks are coming in to work out for a chance to join the roster and back up C.J. Beathard moving forward. You'll be interested and surprised by some of the names. We've got that for you next here on 95.7 The Game.
The biggest names in the Bay Area are only on 95.7 The Game.
Talking to two-time Finals MVP Kevin Durant.
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously. And no appreciation for my real skill for the game. But I get it. I understand where we're coming from. I understand what we have here in this building that scares everybody.
The biggest names and the biggest games. Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the magnificent listening audience, because we love you and because today we are just ripe with content. Greg Papa will join us at 8:30. We've got to jump into the Garoppolo situation in just a moment. But first, next Wednesday, October 3rd, we are throwing an American League wildcard watch party right here at the station, right outside the studios. 10 of you are going to win a chance to come here to party with us. You're also going to get the opportunity to bring a guest. The only thing you need to do is go to our Twitter page, which is Joe Low and Dibs, at Joe Low and Dibs. Follow us on Twitter and shoot us a video. Video can be about anything.
Pretty simple.
But be creative. Stand out. Do something interesting. Show us your fandom. Tell us why. Whatever you want to do, it's completely open-ended. We're going to pick the 10 best videos between now and the beginning of next week, and then we will announce the winners. 10 winners, best videos. Follow us on Twitter at Joe Low and Dibs. You can come party with us next Wednesday night for the American League Wild Card Watch Party. Shout out to the A's for getting there. More on them in just a bit. Greg Papa at 8:30, but we begin right here. Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan speaking to the media. There's a lot to dissect, but we're going to begin with his thoughts on the new starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, C.J. Beathard.
I mean, I have a lot of confidence in C.J. You know, I think C.J. got a lot of experience last year. You know, we liked him a lot coming out of college. He got a lot of experience last year. He got thrown into as tough of a situation as I could imagine putting a rookie quarterback in, and the guy didn't blink. He had a lot of ups and downs throughout his time playing. I thought he started out very well, went through a little bit of slump in the middle, and I thought he ended very well, especially with the win that we got versus the Giants. C.J.'s as tough and fearless as any quarterback I've ever been around. He's got the arm talent to make every throw. He's extremely smart, and I know he's the type of guy that I know our team believes in also.
7 career appearances, 5 career starts in the rookie year for one C.J. Beathard. Low, how will the team rally around their new quarterback heading into Sunday's game in Los Angeles against the Chargers?
I tell you right now, I guarantee you that the meeting on Monday, they already knew what was going on with Jimmy G Sunday when they left Kansas City. Knew that he was probably going to be done. This team knew he was probably going to be done. Heads were probably hung down and just like, okay, God, we lost Jimmy G. Monday morning, Kyle Shanahan addressed the team and said, guys, we're going to rally around Beathard. Guys, this guy's been a starter. He's had game experience. We didn't have necessarily talent. This guy stood in there. He's tough. He's physical. We're not going to change a lot. I'm not going to change a lot for this guy because this guy's in the National Football League. He's intelligent. He's smart. He can throw the ball. He can make all the throws. You guys saw it last year. Yeah, at times maybe a hole in the ball. You know, Jimmy G was holding onto the ball. He's probably going to even get rid of the ball just as fast, if not faster than with Jimmy G. Jimmy G was getting hit a lot. He was holding onto the ball a lot. This is a guy now that's playing with house money. He's not in a situation that he's thrust. Last year, he was thrust into a similar situation, but he was trying to have success, of course, and a lot of things were going on. Now, this is a situation where he knows he's not, this is not his job. Look no further than the guy and understand that this guy's been in the league for a long time. Fitzpatrick, you see the way this guy, the Fitzmagic, only quarterback ever throw for 400 yards in 4-3 consecutive games, you know. But what did he do? We saw this guy go to the Jets. We saw him in Buffalo where he was just a hung tooth. Couldn't do anything right, and you look as a starter, and you're like, man, what's going on with this guy? But now he's in playing with house money. He's turning the ball loose. He's throwing it in tight windows. He's letting it go. You watch Fitz throw the long ball. He just turns it loose. Beathard can throw the ball. The kid can throw the ball. I think you'll see a guy that's going to go out here and fight. I think Kyle Shanahan is not necessarily going to change a lot of the plays. He's still going to move him at times. He's going to let him throw the out. He's going to throw the quick passes. I don't see this offense necessarily doing a bunch of other things. Yes, Jimmy was brought in here to be this to be the savior. I get that. But this young man can throw the ball. He throws a better deep ball than Jimmy, in my opinion. Not necessarily. He doesn't maybe necessarily Dibs doesn't have the Jimmy IQ and the strong and physical things that Jimmy brought. But this guy can play, and that's why they loved him. They loved the way he moved. They loved the way his veteran leadership is. They loved the way that he's tough. So I look for this guy to go in here and play at a very serviceable level, without a doubt.
I'd be surprised to see them throw a lot of deep balls because they haven't connected on many this year, even with Jimmy Garoppolo. They haven't gotten a lot of wide receivers open deep down the field, and that is a problem that exists whether or not it's Jimmy Garoppolo or C.J. Beathard. So I'll be interested to see how many deep shots they allow C.J. to take, knowing that he hasn't connected on a lot in his career, and this year you haven't connected on a lot of deep balls as well. The one area that I think that he might be a slight upgrade over Jimmy G is his threat to run. He might be able to pull it down, and I know it's risky because you already had one quarterback hurt while he was running with the football, even though he was hurt on his own. I think you're going to see C.J. Beathard in space, like you say, rolling him out, run some bootleg action, give him a chance to make plays with his legs as well.
Granted, it was on a much grander scale, but what was it like in San Diego as you guys approached the playoffs when Rivers went down and you made the transition to Billy Volek? What was that week of practice like?
It was interesting, Joe, that you talk about it. Billy, Philip Rivers goes down. Everyone's like, okay, here go Billy. And at practice, you watch him throwing the dimes, but you saw him. You see these guys, Joe, going against your starting defense, and you could see if a guy's got it. You can see at practice when a guy's throwing it, you see him like laughing in the huddle and doing things because you see him, and DB's starting to get upset at times because he's playing well. I think that you have, because who Kyle Shanahan is and the way that he prepares, he's a perfectionist. So he wants practice. You want to challenge your DBs. You can't tell me, and I think you guys will be in the same church as me on this, that you can't tell me that on scout team that when you can be in pads twice, once a week, 16 padded practices. You can't tell me that Kyle Shanahan's not telling him, hey, you go at those DBs. Let's make Weatherspoon and those guys better. So Beathard has had plenty of opportunities during practice. It's not like this guy's been just sitting around watching Jimmy G. He's been practicing. He's been out there. He's been doing scout team. He gets some of the reps with the ones because you want your guy ready for these moments. So what was it like when you saw Billy? It was like, okay, Billy's going to do okay. And then once you saw him get in the game and he has some success, and I'm guaranteeing you guys this, that they will throw some shots down the field. You got to keep this L.A. Chargers team on the heels. You got to say, I'm not going to come out and be necessarily so conservative that I don't give this guy. This is not some hung tooth guy who can't necessarily throw the ball. So I really believe that he is going to have some success. And I think that because the guys are going to rally around him, guys are going to work that much harder because they understand Jimmy G went down and next man up. And usually guys are trying to help make plays. Why? For the quarterback. Because if you make some catches for him early, what is that going to do for his confidence?
It's a famous Las Vegas angle as well. Play the backup. Play the team in the first game with the backup. Now, moving forward, everything starts to settle down.
True.
But you generally have a situation where that first game out, there's this rallying cry where the other 21 starters say to themselves, we need to step up. We need to pick the team up. We need to get through this game. It doesn't necessarily last past that, but that's just the Vegas angle.
No.
It's that one specific game, and that's why you're going to see some people. Watch the line. Chargers are 9.5-point favorites. At some point, you will probably see that tick a bit towards the Niners because there will be this rallying cry. Now, how far it lasts remains to be seen, but I want to go back to something you were just touching on. For Shanahan's game plan this week, clearly game planning for each team is differently, but in terms of how he approaches his offense, how much does he need to adjust with the install when it comes to Garoppolo leading an offense versus Beathard? Does he need to change a lot of what he likes to do?
No, he's not going to change a lot. You know what he's going to tell? He's going to tell Beathard, he's going to say, look, man, I know you want to run that time. Look, man.
Come on, man.
We want you to get down. He's going to tell him, be safe and be smart. Because Dibs, like Dibs alluded to, he's going to have some opportunities in quarterbacks in certain times, takes off and run. And this is a guy that's going to try to show the team that he's ready to step in and do well. So I think that this is going to be that where Shanahan's, look, man, I don't need you getting hurt. Come on, man. Hey, man. Look here, man. Let me tell you something. Don't you go out here and try to go be Mr. Hero. So I think that definitely that the game plan is not going to necessarily be shortened, because if you think about in those meetings, those quarterbacks hear the same verbiage. They see the same deal. They're challenged in there. They go up on the board. They see what the coaches are doing. They understand what the coaches are doing. The backups are usually getting asked more questions than the starters because they want to make sure that those backups are engaged. And I think that this guy is going to come in, and I really believe he's going to play well.
If Beathard plays well, is Lynch on the phone Monday trying to move Garoppolo?
Without a doubt.
You got to figure it's at by halftime he's on the phone with, you know,
and Jimmy gets,
the Raiders.
Jimmy gets worried
maybe Titans.
Right as he goes in for surgery. Jimmy, hold on before we put you under. Yeah, you've been dealt to Detroit. You're Stafford's backup.
Hey, Jimmy, call Winston and ask how this feels.
Hey, man, you're on your way to Detroit.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for the service. All right, so speaking of the other potential quarterbacks, because there's a lot we got to get through here, Shanahan, when meeting with the media yesterday, detailed the quarterbacks that were going to be brought in today for workouts. Now, not to say that these guys will be your new starter. They want to ride with Beathard, but
right. They
do need some depth.
No question.
Take a listen to Shanahan's plan.
Well, I know we're working out a number of guys tomorrow. You know, right now our plan is to bring Nick up, so we have two at least right away. We're working out a bunch of guys tomorrow. I'm not sure how many. We'll see how that goes, and we'll assess it after that.
Savage is one of those guys.
Yeah, I know he's one of them. Yeah.
Robert Griffin on the radar too?
No, he's on a team. He's at Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other names that you've had experience with? Guys that will be coming in.
Guy, you know, I don't know the whole list of them.
How many do you coming in?
As many as we can get, I think. No, I'm just joking. I think Kellen Clemens is coming in. One I know for sure. I believe T.J. Yates might possibly be coming in. And we asked Matt Moore. I'm not sure if he is or not. That's all I know right now.
All right. So, Bob Griffin's already on a team. It doesn't appear as if they're looking to trade for anybody. But those are your names. T.J. Yates, Tom Savage, just looking at it, Kellen Clemens, and Matt Moore, who they're not sure if Matt Moore's going to be in. They're going to talk to him, but they're not sure if he's going to be in.
Nah.
I mean, give me something. I'm just going to look at you, and I'm going to say, give me something.
That's about as
sums it up.
Perfectly said.
If you ranked my wish list, I'd go.
What's the Rushmore here?
Yates is in the George Washington position. He's actually he's won a playoff game, for crying out loud. He had a nice little run in, I think, 2014.
Yeah. Do you remember that game against the Bengals?
Doesn't matter, Joe. No, I don't. Okay. I know he won a playoff game, so he's my number one. Clemens is two. I think he can make a play outside the pocket. You got to go Savage 3 and Mandy Moore or Matt Moore 4?
Michael Moore.
Yeah.
Taking a time away from his new documentary on Trump to step in and play a little quarterback for the Niners.
Go get that first rounder. Go get the first rounder Denver brought in, right? Paxton Lynch?
Lynch. God, no. Are you nuts?
Savage, coach. What, Savage?
Coach, let me tell you something.
Yes, please.
There's a reason Elway embarrassed himself. Elway went through the public ridicule of cutting that dude. If you're willing to say, I know I'm going to take a lot of heat, I'm going to cut this guy, that doesn't mean, hey, this guy's got a ton of talent, we should go sign him.
Jimmy G's
a mess.
I mean, well, you got to look at the head coach. Is he not a wizard? You guys said he's an offensive juggernaut, so maybe
I think the headline would be perfect.
David Copperfield's got a show in Vegas. That doesn't mean he's going to make real estate prices around here magically reduce themselves. You know what I'm saying?
That would be awesome.
Let's speaking of something, I wanted to bring this up. Shanahan, the way he dealt with the media there, the guy is so much smoother than anyone gives him credit for. He's monotone, so he's going to lull you to sleep. You're going to miss a lot of what might be the fascinating nuggets. But even with the Griffin thing, Robert Griffin? No, he's on a team. He's in Baltimore. And it's just like, oh, yeah.
Keep moving.
You're right. I guess we're just moving along with that one.
Had to be asked, though. I thought it was a good question.
Very quickly, here's Belichick in the transcribe after the Lions game. On how the team can overcome slow starts, we have to work at it, work harder. On how the slow start happened after preparing to avoid a slow start during the week, we have to coach and play better. On what the team has to do to play better defense, everything, we just have to do a better job. On what happened on the intentional grounding play, we didn't have a receiver in the area where we threw the ball.
Thanks.
On how the intentional grounding play was supposed to be executed, there were several things that went wrong with that play. On how much the team had to adjust the game plan this week for injuries, I don't know. On if injuries were a factor in the team's performance tonight, I think they clearly outplayed us and outcoached us today. It just keeps going. I'm reading the transcript last night. I'm laughing my rear end off. He gives you nothing. And it seems so easy, but imagine being up there, being frustrated, being emotional, being emotional and prideful because you won. No matter what, as a human, you're probably going to get caught opening up a little bit.
Yes.
He is the ultimate robot. He is emotionless.
He stays in the pocket. It's sort of like that Will Smith where he slaps the boy Joe in the dance. Like, stay in the pocket. Don't. Yeah. He's constantly.
Hitch.
Yeah, he's constantly slapping himself and like, no, I'm staying here. He will not let anyone get to him, whether they win, whether they lose. It's just one dry. Here it is, Bueller, anyone. I mean, he just stays in his pocket.
It's the same answer over and over. It's like Mariano Rivera getting all those saves with one pitch. Belichick does the same thing, the same answer. What happened on that third down play? We didn't execute. What happened on the pass on the intentional grounding? There wasn't a receiver in the area. You think?
They're all accurate answers, too.
Yeah,
lying. That's a good answer.
And he doesn't pause. He's just a machine, like Mariano Rivera throwing that 92-mile-an-hour cutter on the outside. Same pitch. You can't hit him. Same answer. You can't stump him.
Now, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but the question was asked, and it does need to be addressed. With Jimmy Garoppolo out for the season, inevitably, someone was going to ask Kyle Shanahan about Colin Kaepernick. Here's the head coach.
No, I mean, there was last year when I think I made that decision just the style of offense that we wanted to go with. And that's kind of what I said last year. And it's kind of the same situation now. If you're thinking, would there be a different discussion now? You know, I always look into what style of offense I want to do, what style of offense we've been doing for the last 2 years. And when you start to get to these quarterbacks we're talking about, you know, CJ's our guy, and we have Nick Mullins backing him up. So when you get into a third and fourth guy, whoever that is, you'd like to bring in guys that you felt you didn't have to change as much of your offense for.
Just to be clear, we can go ahead and put an end to the Kaepernick discussion. Fact number one, since Nike made him their face man, they have picked up $6 billion in market value.
$6 billion.
That's with a B. That's not an M. Boy. That's with a B. They have picked up $6 billion in market value since he was announced as the face of the 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign. Number two, why would Colin Kaepernick come back to football? He's in the middle of a very serious lawsuit that just got past the summary judgment phase, which is a huge win for him and a terrible defeat for the owners. You come back now, that case kind of falls apart. So you want to see that through because you're trying to lead a movement. And number two, you're the face of this Nike movement. It's the whole thing goes up in flames if you come back and play football. Right now, that's the last thing he wants to do. He's making money. He's not taking hits. He doesn't have to risk any of this. He's not coming back. It's over.
It's over.
So we can continue to ask the question because some people like to get worked up about it. This isn't even political. This is just business.
But
you ain't coming back.
But I just love the way that even though he's not, and Shanahan knows he's not, he's a smart guy. Listen at the way that he goes through it and answers the question. So many people say, I'm not, if you asked a lot of coaches, next question. They wouldn't even deal with
right.
it. You know that. There are so many coaches. Collins got another. I don't know.
They get emotional.
They get emotional, and he went through it. Hey, I don't want to change for this type of offense. I have to adjust too many things. Here's our guy. This is the reason why. Yeah, we thought about him last year, but I thought about, hey, look, I would have to change the offense too much, and it would hurt the growth of the other quarterback. So you listen to his answer. He's buttoned up. He wasn't sure. Too many coaches, see, they thought they can get him on that question. They thought they can rattle him or get him to go off strip. He kept it with football, and he made logical sense. And he's like, wow, after he laid down, you're like, Colin doesn't sit fit his system.
No, and he said it last year, too. He said, yeah, you know, just like I said last year when this question was asked of me,
yeah.
I didn't want to change my offense that much to fit anybody. And whether it's the third quarterback or the fourth quarterback, whoever we bring in, they've got to fit our system. And basically what he's saying without saying it is that Kaepernick doesn't fit the system. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to say that Kaepernick's not an NFL quarterback or that he's getting, you know, I was told not to bring him in.
Right.
None of those things.
Our people stand for the anthem.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. You can't say, why are you saying that? You got a lawsuit.
Didn't even
How
bring
did the NFL not figure this out 2 years ago that they should be talking like this? Say he doesn't fit my system.
Right.
If 32 head coaches were like, the guy just doesn't fit the system
right.
or what we're trying to do. What do you mean by that? I don't know. Just give him some coach speak. That's
didn't
the end of it.
Didn't even bring up the national anthem. Look how he just sides. It was nice.
Trying to run an offense, he doesn't fit it. It's like, oh, okay. That's actually a really good reason.
Yeah, it's
I can't really call you on that because I don't know your system
right,
as well as you do.
Right.
It's actually the
no matter
best
what I say.
Reason, right? No matter what. You could say that about any player. Well, he doesn't fit what we're trying to do defensively. It's like, oh, okay. I mean,
so Gruden should be saying about Mac. He just doesn't fit what I'm trying to do.
Ah!
We're not trying to get after the quarterback here, all right? We're trying to take our time. We're not trying
good.
To get after the
that
quarterback.
In light of the new
nice.
Rules, we realize that rushing the quarterback is detrimental to success.
Write the bill for that guy. Give him
something.
Coach, you knew it was going there.
By the way, Nike stock up 65% year over year. I just checked. It last year, this date, it closed at about $52, and it's at $83 today.
Everyone burnt their stuff, and then all of a sudden they realized that it wasn't about him kneeling. They saw him standing, actually, with the flag in the back. They said, oh, I'm going to go back and buy some Nike.
They all realized they had to buy more Nike. It's like, oh, I'm gonna burn my shoes because I don't like this. Okay, now you need shoes, and you like Nike, so you can go buy Nike shoes. It's really not that. I mean, again, this had nothing to do with politics. Nike was making a business decision. It was a business decision.
Phil Knight is good.
Phil Knight isn't a businessman. He's a businessman. Now that leads us. That leads us to this question. We're having fun today because we're close to about 48 hours removed from this injury. But let's be honest, man. The Garoppolo knee thing. You could hold out all the hope you wanted, but you knew it was coming yesterday. And the announcement came. It's a torn ACL. Now, they're saying they don't think there's anything else in there. The doctors will find out once they get in. But the reality is the MRI. Torn ACL. So, should be ready to go for the start of next season, and we can start talking about that down the road. But for right now, it's a big blow, man. I was thinking about it yesterday, how much hype was coming off, because we ride that warrior wave, like, right through the beginning of July.
Yeah.
And then everything kind of chills for a little bit, and you're following baseball, but baseball's still a long way from the finish line. And then you have training camps and summer vacations, and we only do how many shows together on a consistent basis. Then training camp opens and you're thinking, damn, since the first time since you and I have been doing this show together, and then as well as Dibs 2 years ago when we all started doing this, you had a reason to get excited about the Niners.
No question.
It had been a while, and it only lasted 3 weeks. It only lasted 3 weeks. Now, being 1-2 was something a lot of us predicted, but we didn't predict the loss of Garoppolo. So, in that vein, since we didn't touch on this yesterday, if you're doing the Mount Bay Area injury more and you're talking about the most devastating injuries that have happened with, let's try to keep it. We have enough teams probably within the last 20, 30 years. I don't know if we need to go back to the 60s, but if you want to, feel free. Where does this rank? Does this make one of the four most devastating injuries to local teams?
It's tough, but I have it on the outside looking in, Joe. If you'd like me to reveal the
It's not going to make the college football playoff?
No, if you expand to 8 teams, absolutely it will. But the fact that this 49er team is not on its way to a Super Bowl this year, yeah, it hurts, but I don't think it ranks up there with the other injuries. I have
Montana?
Yeah, the Leonard Marshall on Montana. It's got to be in the Washington spot.
Jerry?
No, I went with friend of the program, Aeneas Williams. His hit on Steve Young that basically ended his career in the Abe Lincoln spot. You watch the video, and of course, Aeneas, the founder of Joe Louis and Gibbs, when he joined us on this program, he gets the Lincoln spot. I put Scott Cousins hurting Buster Posey on the collision at home plate. That's got to be on there.
Changed baseball.
Exactly. It completely changed baseball. And the last one, I went with Lake Montejunas because that ultimately was part and parcel to them losing the title. It was one of the events that led them to not win the NBA championship when Steph sprained his MCL slipping on the wet spot.
I'm nicely done. Way to bring that home. That's probably worth a small round of applause.
Yeah, give myself a taste of the light.
At the very least.
You're too kind.
It's a small symposium you're hosting.
There he is, Aeneas Williams. Nice. Give it to me again.
Joe Louis and Gibbs.
It's our guy.
Why no Jerry? When his knee, you remember he's a Niner, when he jacked his knee up and came back, and then, you know, what they said, why no Jared?
It's tough. You have to make hard choices. I think you look at the Montana injury first and foremost. That cost him almost 2 full seasons and cost them a chance at a Super Bowl.
Right.
Steve Young's career just ended. And when you watch that video, Joe and I watched it.
He's just laying there. He looks dead.
Oh, man.
He looked dead.
Even now it's heartbreaking. And I see him on TV all the time looking good.
Yeah, and Buster Posey absolutely has to be on there. Joe's right. It changed baseball. Yeah. You no longer have home plate collisions. And the last one, I had to go Lake Montejunas just for the basketball, the crossover appeal, and the fact that Steph got injured by body fluids. I think the uniqueness puts it on the mount for me.
There are a lot of ways to slice why they didn't win the title that year, but he was not 100%. We focused on all the sensationalist angles, the teabagging.
3 points of contact.
The suspension, the 3 points of contact. Yeah, there are a million things we have broken down with that. Chasing 71,
right.
All that. But the reality was he was never the same after that knee injury. And that's just, you know, that's the way of the world. Who knows how it would have been, but in terms of just recent memory, it's got to be on there.
Yeah,
because as Warriors fans, we're just devastated.
Devastated.
To not have 4 titles in a row is completely unacceptable.
And
I don't know why anyone didn't ask about that at Media Day yesterday.
Seriously.
It was huge, but I think that one that maybe not necessarily would have merited a championship, but you got to throw Bo in there somewhere. You know what I mean? That guy, when he was with the Raiders Bay Area, when he...
Bo Jackson, the hip injury?
Yeah.
Was that LA Raiders?
Now you're getting into the nitty-gritty.
Was that during the L.A. Raiders era, though? Because and that's the hard part about this Raider team.
Yes. Now it gets interesting because there's Raider Nation, okay. And I still see the point. Is a devastating injury.
I mean, is it when they were in Oakland, San Diego, L.A., Irwindale, Las Vegas?
Napa. Here training camp.
I mean, which Raider era are we talking about? Smart. It gets confusing.
I'm sure there are a lot of A's fans pointing to this season because now you're in the playoffs and you've got this great run happening, but... I mean, honestly, which pitcher do you choose?
The unfortunately, Cotton, there's Tommy so many. John,
I mean,
you know?
There's so many. Just
AJ Puck.
You could just take just a symbol of an A's player, but the black silhouette where you don't actually see the player, and you can plug it in there on the mound. Say A's starting pitching.
Yeah,
which you still have Fires, and you still have Edwin Jackson.
Dr. Job has built three houses on the backs of A's surgeries alone. You know,
this year. Wow.
Oh, this is a good one. I had this in the notes, but we'll take it to the phones instead. Timothy in San Jose, Mount Bay Area injury more. What do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate you guys taking my call. It's the first time I've actually called in and spoke to you guys. I wanted to just bring up Derek Carr, Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Right before Raiders, get ready for a big playoff push. You know, I'd say that's probably one of the most devastating injuries a team can take with the momentum they had going and how good they looked. And to not be in the playoffs with your star quarterback and to fall apart the way they did, if my memory is correct, was it Royce Clayton that took a ball to the face for the Giants years ago? These are some pretty big injuries I haven't heard you guys talk about.
All right. That's
Thank
a good
you,
one
Timothy.
Right there. Thank you very much. Now, the Carr one
Huge.
Was super deflating for two reasons. Yeah. One, it's the only playoff push you've had in damn near two decades.
Right.
And number two, do you remember coming in trying to sell that?
Yeah.
We as radio hosts, you're going to come in and it's like, all right, how do we take this and maybe turn it into a positive? Or how do we take something that's so positive right now and look for something that people may be missing? You go behind the details and you try to pull every imaginable thread for the show. There was no way to sell the Carr news as positive. There's no way to be like, hey, man, Matt McGloin, this is going to be, I remember.
Oh, that's
Hostetler.
Right. It was McGloin first, then Connor Cook.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
It was disaster.
They went to Denver in week 17. They looked like garbage.
McGloin
that was when the chain
terrified.
Got snatched, right? The chain get snatched in that game?
Yep. Yeah.
So the whole thing was a mess. Then you go
McGloin
to Houston.
McGloin got hit, beat up.
They put you in the early morning Saturday playoff game, which you know is trash on wild card weekend.
We were at Atlantis Casino
awful.
In Reno.
Right.
With Guru, right?
We made a run with the goo.
You're right. They had a chance that year. That was a bad one.
That might be it. You might be able to put that over Steph because they didn't win the title, but there are other reasons they didn't win the title.
Right.
This one was just the entire Raiders season was done.
When especially
Carr,
as you look
as
at
was.
It from where we are now, which is last year was basically a wasted year where Carr looked like he hadn't fully healed, and now you look at the Raiders and they're 0-3. So since that moment, when he got hurt, they were 12-3, right? Because they lost subsequently the week after.
Yeah.
So since then, they've gone 6-11. They've gone 6-14 over their next 20 games, not counting the playoff game. So 6-15 if you count that since the Carr injury. So with each successive loss, that injury looks bigger and bigger.
It wouldn't be on the mount, but when we were kicking this around yesterday, Navarro Bowman in the NFC Championship. Because you look at that and it's however you want to rule the touchdown, he's not there for the end of the game. Clearly, that was what many would consider one of the top two or three most physical football games ever played. You needed him out there. Maybe he could have made a difference, but you also lost him for the entire next season. And who knows how things shake down if he's around for that following season. That was devastating. That was kind of the beginning of the end for Navarro Bowman, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of, I don't want to say good ones because these are injuries that happen to real human beings, but some suggestions and the submissions are spot on right now. Hit us on the text line. 9-5-7-9. Hi. If you 95795, I think low is what you meant to say. If you have a submission,
Dan in Fremont. Dan, thanks for calling the show. Mount Injury More. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for the answer. I was thinking about the Napoleon McCallum injury Monday night against the
Monday
Niners.
That was
just brutal.
That was just tough to watch.
And then also, I think everybody's forgetting about just the horrible injury for the Giants pitcher Dave Dorbecki, which resulted in him getting his arm amputated. If you remember that one.
Yeah. Of course, Dan, thank you for that. After his courageous comeback from having cancer in his arm, he went out there to pitch, and you could hear audibly his bone basically breaking, and it did result in the amputation.
Yeah, maybe.
It's one of the most heroic stories, honestly. It's an inspirational story. As much as it's terrible and I remember when it happened. It was tragic in the moment. What Dave Dravecki has made of his life, Lo, I'll show you some of the stuff he's done. You will be truly inspired by Dave Dravecki and his story.
People just say, man, can't play. Just we're going to stop you. Just like Bosch in Miami. Where you were
Big Worm,
where they just said, you know, buddy, I know you love this game, but we're going to protect you from you. Because guys will go out there and, you know, for some reason, we're crazy. We're wired a different way. Think we can beat anything. We think we're, you know, invincible. And God, that's just, whoa, that's deep. That's heavy.
888-957-9570. Wow. Akil in Fairfield. Am I saying that right? Correctly? Akil in Fairfield. Thanks for calling the show, man. What's going on?
Yeah, you guys are getting probably the biggest one out of all of these injuries. The AFC Championship game is right there in Oakland Coliseum when big boy Siragusa flattened Gannon and took the sails out of the Raiders ship right there.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the biggest ones.
That's a good one, too.
That's why
we have the callers.
Thank you, Akil.
I mean, we don't
got mad at him.
He's like, how dare you? That's the second one. You idiots are missing a bunch of them. Look, it's the beginning of the conversation. It's why we open the phones. Relax. Call up. Let us know.
And if you want to erect your own mounts at home, go ahead.
The Dan Dickley erector set. Here on 95.7 The Game. Oh. Mike, Redwood City. Mike, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hello?
Go ahead, Mike.
You are on with 95.
Yeah, what about
the
49ers, Garrison Hurst against the Falcons when he broke his leg on the first drive of the game?
Yeah,
that's another one too.
Severe,
oh,
terrible.
My God.
It's a bad breaks.
Well, yeah, literally. And
good
for me,
pun.
The mount is more about.
Don't give me that. I wasn't trying for that. Don't you dare give me that.
Don't give me too much credit. I wasn't on that one.
Yeah.
That was genius, is what it was. It's for me, it's not about.
It's not that's genius in your eyes?
It was great.
Keep
it was on point.
Thank you. Stop, Joe. Stop.
It was really good. Yeah.
I guess we're
going
to downgrade Albert Einstein and all the greatness that's taking place in the world if that's what we're calling genius.
Has Einstein ever turned a phrase and cracked a joke? Probably not.
Right.
He's pretty serious, too.
Right.
I'll invent.
Pretty good point.
Joe, for me, the mount is not about the severity of the injury. Like the Dave Dravecki one is one of the most tragic things you'll ever see.
Oh boy.
It's about the impact, not only to the sport, like Buster Posey. That impacted the sport forever. The rules forever are changed. And the Montana injury, while not the most severe ever, that impacted the season and their championship run. So for me, it's more impact than it is severity.
No, and I'm with you on that. We can name gross ones all day long because there are so many of them out there. There was an ankle that got rolled the other – man, what was the game I was watching? College football, where that happened on a Saturday morning. I think it was in the Purdue game, to be honest with you, because that was the first game I remember having on. But anyway, right, it's not about the grossness of the injury or the shock and awe value of the injury. It's about what it meant to the season and beyond. Buster Posey obviously being on there because it changed the game. It's literally called the Buster Posey rule. Garoppolo, that's the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to come on here and sell the dream that the Niners are going to find a way to make a push here and really make it interesting, but are you kidding me? The worst part about this is that the Rams are going through their own damn problems. Aqib Talib needs ankle surgery.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. The Rams got some issues right now.
They're vulnerable.
And just as things were starting to open up.
Just.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not the Bay, but I'm in the Bay. But probably one would probably be me, Joe, you know, with the Saints leading the league in rushing. The first 2 weeks, we were undefeated. And after that, I think we only won like 4 games total. So
was that like week 14? You were on your way to a rushing title? Help me out. I don't have all those details in front of me.
I just looked it up, Joe. I believe it was.
Is that 6 minutes into the first quarter of the first game?
It was week 2. He was your league leader. He was your Matt Breida after 2. Although Breida went out and had himself a good third game, and
Breida's got hurt
Lowe's
too.
Lows and crutches, but
Breida got hurt this week too. It's crazy.
Yeah, he made 3 games though. You played 2, just as we're doing comparison and contrasting. Yeah,
we're
I defended
undefeated.
You 3 minutes ago.
We were undefeated.
3 minutes ago, I had your back, but you know how this show works.
Yeah,
you're undefeated, huh? It's all just breaking your way at 1-0.
We're 2-0, Joe.
Well, no, you got hurt in the second game, so you're 1-0 when you went down, and then clearly it didn't mean much because the team went on the win anyway.
Did you get a quality start? Did you have to go, go 2.5 quarters?
What quarter did it happen
for the win?
Third, when I went for 7. Remember?
So there's still plenty of time left.
No,
you saw what happened in the Tampa Bay game last night. They're getting blown out. Third quarter, though, here comes the comeback. They got right back in that thing. It's half a game, Coach.
That was a nice over last night, a little late over in that one.
Played like 4% of the season.
Get more on to Cincinnati.
You brought it up.
I know.
See, that's how this goes. You bring it up, and then it's, wait a minute.
You're right.
James in Santa Cruz. James, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to touch on the topic. For me, I remember where I was in 1998 with a bunch of guys watching the game. Brian Young, he snapped his leg. That was just brutal. And he was just a beast. So it was heartbreaking. And to get injured by your own player, I think Ken Norton hit him, if I'm not mistaken. And a whole house, there was like 50 guys just gasped. It was just awful.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. I'm starting to rethink this whole discussion.
I know. This is
sick. It's like I'm reliving these moments. It's like, oh, man.
Cringeworthy
what's
here.
Yeah, like, what's the win? What's the upside on this?
Guy lost his
plus EV,
arm.
They call it in Vegas.
Yeah.
Plus expected value.
That's memories.
Guys, I want to talk about Dave Gervecki. Oh.
It's just memories. And
tragic.
We talk to Dante Whitner on the show fairly regularly, and we talk about the hit on Pierre Thomas, and it takes me back to exactly where I was at the Dead Fish in Crockett overlooking the Carquinez Straits. And so as much as you feel for Pierre Thomas for getting put to sleep, that moment reminds you of where you were. And it's almost like time travel for me, the way the mind works. You think about where you were and you go back in time for that brief moment.
Just a reminder for those who are listening, we're throwing a party here at the studios next Wednesday night, October 3rd, for the American League Wild Card game. What you need to do if you want to attend, we're going to invite 10 of you plus a guest. So go to our Twitter account, at Joe Lowe and Dibs, Joe Lowe and Dibs. Find us on Twitter, follow us, and then shoot us a video. Shoot us a video of anything. We really don't have much criteria. We just want 10 great videos, whether it be your A's fandom, whether it's why you should come hang out with us, maybe just talking trash to us, to be honest. Anything. We have no serious criteria. Just shoot us a video to that account and follow the account. By the beginning of next week, we will pick 10 of you to come hang out with us here at 95.7 The Game as we party for the A's-Yankees wildcard game. We will get into more of that in a little bit as well. Greg Popple will join us at 8:30, but back to the phones. The Garoppolo injury, in the eyes of many, the end of the San Francisco 49ers season. Now, that doesn't mean there's nothing to be salvaged, because there is. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But where does this rank in terms of injuries in the Bay Area? Dibs came up with the mount. The mount currently constructed is as follows.
It's Leonard Marshall hurting Joe Montana. It's Aeneas Williams hurting Steve Young, ending his career, basically. Scott Cousins blowing up Buster Posey's leg at home plate. And Steph Curry slipping on Lake Montajunas, Donatas Montajunas, who had slid across the floor seconds earlier. Steph hits the wet spot and sprains his MCL.
Let me ask you something. Last few months, does it feel as if we've encountered more injuries than average teams would? Think about the A's rotation. Think about the Giants as a whole. Cueto, Samardzija, Bumgarner, Belt. Just, I'm not even going to bother continuing with that, but you know where I'm going. So the Giants, the A's rotation, and now what we've seen from the Niners. Sherman's banged up. All these other dudes have been getting hurt, and now Garoppolo down for the year. Do you think we're above the mean in terms of injuries sustained per team during this stretch? It feels like we're dealing with more than we should be. It feels like these are storylines that are just continuously creeping into our headlines.
There's got to be a metric out there, the IPT, injuries per team, as it pertains to the norm. I think we are above the mean here in the Bay Area among the teams. And granted, we have more teams, so we're going to have more injuries. But you mentioned the A's and seven pitchers gone for year-long surgeries, whether it's Tommy John or Manaea with the shoulder procedure, the impingement, and the Giants with Buster Posey, who had season-ending surgery for his hip. And on and on and on. It feels like there's more than other teams, other markets, for sure.
I think it's just, I think that the way that it's happening, you look at the A's with the pitching, you're like, wow, what's going on with this? Is it training? Why is these guys going out? You look at the Giants, and the Giants, of course, they have, you know, you wanted Jonte Cueto, you think he's going to have a big year. I think expectations were set so high, so when a lot of these teams are having injuries, it just kind of kills the vibe when we look at it, man, and you say, wow, what happened? Jimmy G goes down. You see this guy was a lightning rod. He's pretty in the face. Everyone loved this guy, and all of a sudden he's out, and it just moves the meter. So I think a lot of teams are having injuries, but I think the type of injuries we're having with some of the big name players is just, I think it's been unprecedented this year.
Hate to be the clown that says it, but you do realize if you're a Niner fan, you're kind of rooting for losses the rest of the way out, right? I mean, realistically, look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what's the likelihood that you can make a move at quarterback and between now and the end of the season, get to the playoffs and make a run, right?
Yeah.
Ask yourself that question. You don't have to answer it. Just ask it. And then ask yourself, what kind of position do you want to be in next season? Those draft picks carry a hell of a lot of capital. I'm not talking about tanking. I'm just saying, if you are to lose a significant amount of games between now and the end of the season, it's not the end of the world. There are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. This is widely regarded as a weak quarterback class. However, the kid at the top, Justin Herbert from Oregon. From Oregon, can play.
Yeah.
You watched the Stanford game, you saw everything you needed to see. 6'6", and he's got a cannon of an arm. He's mobile. He stands well in the pocket. He's got command of the offense. The kid can play. You look around the NFL right now, Buffalo's a bad football team, but they just drafted a quarterback. Arizona's a bad football team. They just drafted a quarterback. Houston's 0-3. They've got Deshaun Watson. The Raiders are 0-3. This is kind of what we talked about yesterday. If you're not going to move on from Carr, they're going to be near the top, and they don't need a quarterback. If your season donks off and you end up in the top 3 to 4 picks, woo, you're going to be in a good position. People are going to be jockeying for this kid because, again, supply and demand. There are teams out there that need QBs, but there's really only one guy right now that everyone's getting excited about, and that's the kid from Oregon.
So you're going to have a chance to trade back if you're the 49ers and acquire more draft capital to address some of these needs, which the secondary looks more and more like a glaring need each and every day, with Sherman now set to miss a couple games, and you already felt depleted, and questions on the offensive side of the ball with skill position guys who haven't really emerged as elite players. So come draft time again, obviously the further up you are, the better. You'd hate to see the Niners end up 2-14 or 3-13. That would be a dreadful slog, but to your point, losing is not necessarily the worst thing.
It's not going to be upsetting. I mean, 5-11 versus 2-14, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference. I mean, Tom Sula and that nonsense in Week 17 a couple years ago cost you, what, 4 picks in the draft because he decided he wanted to win that game against the Rams in Week 17? What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Just understand the big picture. People look at that and they view it as nonsense, but then you get to draft day and it's like, ah, remember the Raiders. Oh, if only we were there, we could have taken Mike McGlinchey instead of trading back and taking Colton Miller and then getting a third and blowing it on Martavis Bryant and then cutting him and then signing him, right? All of this stuff sounds crazy right up until April when you wish your team had a higher draft pick. And next year, that's going to be a very real conversation with the Niners. And even if Sherman was healthy, you still need to address corner.
Yeah.
Because you're not sure if Witherspoon's the guy. You're not sure if you have another corner on the roster who's going to be able to step up. And let's be honest, how many years does Richard Sherman have left? He's probably not going to be here 4 years from now when you're really in the thick of what you hope is a Super Bowl chase.
You're going to have to find corners. You're going to have to find at least one pass rusher, a couple wide receivers. Your running back room is going to have to get upgraded depending on how Jerick McKinnon recovers from his, wait for it, ACL operation. And you're right, Joe, about drafting a quarterback. You've got to find a quarterback maybe in the third, fourth, or fifth round, somebody you like, a project. Unless C.J. Beathard comes out and is all of a sudden amazing in his second year, you do need more depth at that position as well.
Good. If he is, flip him. You can get return on that investment. And the Niners are going to need to draft a quarterback anyway. Next year, you're not waiting to the sixth or seventh round to bring one in. You're going to have to draft one early. And I know that stings, and I'm not necessarily saying the first round, but again, Garoppolo, he was injured in his very limited stint with New England. Now he's injured for you at the beginning of this season. Not to say he can't come back healthy, but you need an insurance policy because I'll tell you what, next year, if it doesn't work out, if he comes back healthy but he doesn't play well or he gets injured again, you have an out in the contract. You have a way in which you end up paying him roughly 2 years, $60 million. It'd be a terrible investment because you'd get little out of him, but you can get out of the contract with only about $4.5 million in dead cap for 2020. So next year, you need to start thinking insurance policies. You really do long term. If it doesn't pan out or if he gets hurt again, you cannot reboot the entire franchise yet again. Then by that point, where's DeForest Buckner? And where's everybody else? Staley's likely gone.
And Lynch and Shanahan would be toward the end of their six-year run at that point, too. So I think everything with the 49ers, moves-wise, you have to look at it under the umbrella of Lynch and Shanahan and how much time they have left. Until they show success, you can't expect that they'd get second contracts, so everything is framed in that six-year window.
Quarterbacks usually going to get hurt now because of on their own fruition, because of the way they're trying to protect the quarterback now. So quarterbacks, if they're going to hurt most of the time now, from here on out, the way the league is going, it's going to be because they're doing things that they don't need to be doing.
Don't touch them.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.